This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
A lot of things went down last night. How did the Avs go into the Olympic break? Nuggets lost twice last night. We'll get into some of that. Very popular receiver was close to being a Denver Bronco. And now he's playing in the Super Bowl. We got Rams Weekly coming up today at 1 o'clock. New thing. Kevin Lytle will be in. We'll talk Colorado State. I want an update on the Pac-12 TV thing, just a refresher of how that looks compared to the Mountain West. The whole show starts now. They're undefeated, untied, when they are leading a game by two or more goals at any point this season. That's tremendous. That's ability to hang on to a lead. That's very good.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's unheard of.
Dynamite drop in by you. Start coming in red hot by you today.
Orange hot.
It was a little scary, though. I mean, they were up 2-0, and then it got close. You get to 2-2. At some point in this game, the San Jose Sharks, whatever, made it somewhat interesting. The Avs did kind of cough up a two-goal advantage in the third period, but they still held on to defeat the Sharks 4-2 Wednesday night. And that's a wrap for a while for the Avs until the Olympic break is over. The Colorado Avalanche, several Colorado Avalanche players will still be playing, but the Avs will not be playing until February 25th, Michael. 20 days of no Avs hockey. And, you know, we're excited about the Winter Olympics. I am going to get into it. I'm kind of excited. Hockey does it better than most. And again, this is the Winter Olympics and all that stuff, so it should be fun. But Gabriel Landeskog's going to play. Is that a concern? We haven't seen him for the Avs, and we're not going to see him now until after the break. There's a lot of dudes that are going to be playing for the in the Winter Olympics during the break, but not for the Colorado Avalanche. Gabriel Landeskog didn't play for the Colorado Avalanche in the last, it's been a while. How concerned are you about that? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I thought that win was pretty significant for the Avs, though, because it's, you know, the month of January was very rough on the Avs when they had such a red-hot start. I mean, even Bednar said it. There for a while, it felt like we suit up, we go out on the ice, it feels like we're going to win. Because the energy there was there, the effort was there. And then obviously they've had to go through. And I think that's a good thing for this team. I do. I think dealing with, you know, obviously the power play is certainly a concern. They're one of the worst, if not the worst, in the league at this stage. But Jared Bednar, he was talking about a bunch of things. Talking about how he'd like to be able to get up on teams more, you know, and not put so much strain. Sounds a lot like the Nuggets. Not put so much strain on Nathan MacKinnon and Brock Nelson. Reminds me of the Nuggets a couple of years ago with Michael Malone. Trying not to put so much on their stars. And the Avs are kind of at that point right now. This is a big break for most of the team. But you still got a lot of dudes that are going to be playing. Michael, here's Jared Bednar. A bit. We'll play a little bit of it. It's a long clip, so I just want to hear kind of his thoughts. Winning 4-2 over San Jose Sharks, that is, not State Sharks. Being able to win that game before the long break and what that kind of meant to this hockey team. Oh, you don't have
Give
it.
Give me a sec.
You don't have it. I sent it.
It's not
on me.
You did send it.
It's not on me at this stage. Let the record show. It's on producer. Air quotes.
Co-host.
I mean, come on. Your co-host came in and you said, yeah, that's pretty good. And the production side of you doesn't have the clip ready. So...
production side of me had to forward it to a different email.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, there's details. Here's Jared Bednar, head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe. Not today. Not going to happen today. Oh.
Coach, did you play the way that you wanted it to? Did you get the energy and the effort and the focus that you wanted to get to the break with?
Yes, I think we did. Yeah, I liked our... like, we wanted to concentrate on our start and get on our toes a little bit here offensively. Because we've been having some games recently where it's like 5, 6, 9 shots a period, you know. And when we're really good and on our toes, we shoot for 15, you know. We want to be 12, 15 a period and give ourselves some good looks at the net. And so that's what we kind of talked about. We've been doing a good job defensively here but we needed to get in attack mode a little bit more 5-on-5 and then not play it so safe and get our D up and involved. And we did that from the start of the game. I loved our first two periods. Obviously, we had a dip at the start of the third, but really it was one lucky play. You know, like we're doing the right thing. It goes off a stick, goes in the net, and then we make a couple mistakes after that to capitalize on one of them. But you got to regroup. You got to find a way to dig in and get back to your game as quick as you can. And I thought we did that and ended up winning the hockey game.
Megan the Nair.
What are you seeing in the team's response to those two goals early in the first period that you can appreciate?
Like our first two goals?
No.
In the third?
Yeah, that's enough. When the question's clunky and Bednar can't even really understand it, then we move on. How important of a win was that? When you've kind of, it feels like, for whatever reason you want to give, the best team in hockey really coasted into the break, getting the win over Detroit on Saturday, the way they did 5-0, but then they got shut out for the first time this year on Monday, so maybe that kind of offsets that win, getting the San Jose State, or, I keep calling it San Jose State, Mike, come on, I'm starting to do what you do. That's Steiner it, you know?
Well, you're so used to talking about the Mountain West and how they butchered everything.
I don't think it's the Mountain West that butchered everything. It was the Mountain West teams that leave that butchered everything. But
this
was an important win for the Avs because you just didn't want to be sitting on a, you know, what was it, 5 out of their last 7, really, you don't want to be, it's not like, oh yeah, no, everything's fine, because it wasn't just 5 out of their last 7, it was the entire month of January. There's a lot more red as far as L's than there is green as far as wins. If you look at the schedules, green is win, yeah, red is L, and that's certainly concerning, and you want to be able to get guys back too. And one of those big guys, one of those important guys for the Avs is certainly Gabriel Landeskog. And he's going to be playing during the time off. How do Avs fans feel about that? Isai Chris says, I think the Avs were just winning and winning. Maybe boredom set in? I mean, maybe you can get complacent. These are long seasons. You know, whether it's the Avs or the Nuggets, 82 games. Being really good when you go on 10-game win streaks, 15-game win streaks, or point streaks, or whatever, that can, I mean, human nature is going to set in. It's just like when you watch an actual game, when you get a big lead early, sometimes it's really hard to maintain that because your intensity is not there. There is a sense of human nature that creeps in, and you find yourself coasting a bit. But for this team, are they the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup? I mean, nothing that's happened in January really makes me think otherwise. I just think it's a blip. I mean, you couldn't have possibly kept up that way of life. I mean, Mike, Before the weird month started, so January 3rd, they beat Carolina 5-3. They were 31-2-7. 31-2-7. That is phenomenal. To expect them to just keep carrying that out is really insane. I did not expect that. Anybody who's even the biggest diehard Avs fan knew there's going to be a bump in the road. And at this point, it was pretty much the better part of January. Because as I say that, you know, 31-2-7, they finished before the break 37-9-9. 37-9-9. If I told you that was going to be their record on February 4th, Michael, you would take that easily. Like, guaranteed. If I told you they were going to be leading the Western Conference Central Division by 5 points, 83 points to Minnesota's 78, with a 37-9-9 record, nobody would bat an eyelash. It's an eye, right? Bat an eye. But your eyelash goes along with it, so kind of works. The Avs are going to be fine. Does it worry you, though, that they have so many players that are going to still be playing in a very intense Winter Olympics, Mike? Does that bug you?
It kind of does. I don't find the Winter Olympics to be as intense as regular hockey, but it still does bother me because you have a lot of teams who are able to rest their players for a couple weeks, whereas the Avalanche have, what, 8 players playing in the Olympics?
Yeah,
and
8 players.
It's not going to be as intense, and as Bruce and I were talking off the air about it, at least they're going to be in the same place and they're not traveling all over the place every day. But they're still playing. They don't have time to rest those muscles, while other teams who don't have a lot of players going are resting everybody.
So it doesn't concern you that Gabriel Landeskog is going to play?
It does concern me. It concerns me that they have been playing. Now, what Jared Bednar did say in the postgame last night is because they have not been doing as well, they haven't used the entire bench. So they're going to be resting the bench, but still their main guys who they've been playing a lot because they've been trying to win, because they haven't been blowing people out, still aren't getting that rest.
There's a story I saw. Somebody brought it up. The fear of Gabriel Landeskog or anybody playing in this. Somebody brought this up from the New York Islanders in the 2014 season. So that they lost their captain at the time, John Tavares, for the season during the Olympics. So there's always a fear of that happening. There's a fear of that happening in the NBA All-Star game if they're going to start playing it hard. Part of the reason that went into the NBA All-Star game sucking so badly, nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to go extra hard on the defensive side. Nobody wants to do that. There's other reasons that go into that, but this is hockey, Mike. You can't slow the game down. There is no coasting once the Winter Olympics start. Basketball? Yeah. Everybody can have kind of a good old boys agreement that, hey, we're not going to go, you know, if I'm going in for a dunk, if I'm driving the lane, you know, don't get up on me, man. Just let me finish that play. It's not a real thing in hockey. You hold up, you're going to get hurt. You have to go hard. There is no take it easy. And these are intense. These are maybe the most intense hockey games you'll ever see coming up. Maybe. Some would argue the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs are more intense, but what was it called last year when the 4 teams played? It was the classic something? Well, I don't remember. What was it called? It wasn't the All-Star game. They did something different and everyone loved it. And it was intense. But, you know, this time around, there's concern that you've got a lot of key players, 8 players, as Michael mentioned, that will be in this one. It was the 4 Nations face-off. Thank you for that, Mike. Yeah, I had to Google it. Just staring up at the ceiling, and pondering like this with your, you know, stroking your beard, it's not going to come to you, man. So you just got to Google it.
My beard has great internet connection.
Yeah. Feel, you know, I'm taking over producer role too. Like, not only are you not co-host and not producer, I'm becoming host producer.
No, you can sit in this room.
No, I'm able to Google it from my laptop here. I didn't, you know, you have two monitors in there. You can Google a lot of things. You could look up a lot of information for me, but it just doesn't seem to happen as fast.
Have I been demoted to button pusher?
Barely. I mean, barely at this point. Last night, the Nuggets lose in double overtime to the Knicks. And that's not all they lost. Peyton Watson leaves the game early with what looked to be a hamstring thing. And I am not seeing any information at this point of just how long he's going to be out. Nothing breaking yet, and still no news. He's getting his, is he getting his MRI today? Yeah, he's getting that today. Can't imagine. Let's see. I'm trying to see it here. David Adamant only said, hey, we're waiting to see the MRI, but just seeing so much of this year, I just feel bad for the guys in the locker room. He did not, Watson did not speak to reporters after the game. Spencer Jones was being evaluated for a concussion. That was his final game that he can play until they convert his contract. When do we start having a conversation about the Nuggets and perhaps their strength and conditioning?
Has it not already started?
I hate to do that. I hate to be that guy because injuries happen, Mike. Freak injuries happen all the time. But when you start going, Cam Johnson, Christian Brown, Nikola Jokic, Jonas Valanciunas, and then, did I already say Aaron Gordon? And now Peyton Watson. Those are guys that are on the floor a lot. And they're dealing with, well, obviously a lot of hamstring injuries are going on. Joker's was like a freak thing, right? That's one of those you don't look at and say, well, yeah, but I mean, he hyperextended his knee. That no amount of training can keep you from hyperextending your knee if the force or when you plant that foot and it goes inward, no amount of training is going to solve that. But hamstrings, that turns into a different conversation.
Did they hire someone in the off season? Or is this from the old regime? Because
Claus,
you're right.
Antunes de Souza is the associate head strength and conditioning coach. I don't know how long he's been there. But that, I mean, it's all worth looking at now. I mean, yeah, Spencer Jones, concussion last night. That you can't prevent that stuff. Hamstring for Peyton Watson. Cameron Johnson was a knee. But was it it's not like the bone or anything. It's something's jacked in and around his knee. Gordon's is a hamstring. Christian Brown's was, what was Christian Brown's, an ankle? So you start to wonder when you just, especially when it's Peyton Watson and Gordon playing a very similar style, somewhat similar style, high flying kind of. You do, it's worth asking the question, like, are they not doing the right stuff? And it's a problem. I've never seen anything quite like this. Four starters and you're arguably sixth or seventh man. Peyton Watson, who was at the time when you have all your starters, he was your sixth or seventh man, maybe eighth man, but then converted into a starter when everyone was going down. So now you can, if you want to roundabout weigh it, five starters. Now, out. Well, they're not all out. Obviously, we know Joker and Christian Brown are back. But at some point, they've all faced significant time. And we'll see if Peyton Watson is going to miss significant time. And then we're going to find out if the Nuggets here in about a couple hours, if they're actually going to do anything at the trade deadline. I expect them to. I still expect them to. I don't think that's getting Zeke Nagy's contract off of the books. I'll be shocked. And if that happens, then you have the best GM duo ever because they got rid of Porter's contract. And yes, it was still a good thing. And could you get rid of Zeke's? I don't know. But Julian Strother, perhaps. Jalen Pickett, perhaps. Hunter Tyson, they might just be done with. There's just not room once you get everybody fully healthy. 25 minutes after the hour, a very popular wide receiver that is playing in the Super Bowl this weekend says he was almost a Denver Bronco. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
If we would have known that Stephon Diggs really wanted to be a Bronco last year, receiver for the New England Patriots, would you have signed off on that, Mike? Who's had an interesting history, maybe couldn't get along very well with Josh Allen, didn't really like his situation with Houston, and here he is now. Would you have still signed off on that?
How much was he asking?
Oh, I don't know.
The Broncos didn't have much room.
At that point, they didn't, but they were able to get a bunch of guys, remember? I mean, the last 2 years, they still have found a way to bring in pretty decent players, especially on the defensive side. But according to the Denver Post, he was close to signing with Denver in free agency. Man, having him with Bo Nix. I mean, Mike, he had 85 receptions for 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns this year. Who for the Broncos? Like, Cortland Sutton led the Broncos in receiving. And that was, let's see. Cortland Sutton had 74 receptions for 1,000 yards. Is it fair to say you might have been able to have two of those guys? Is there not enough room for that many? But that would have been an interesting prospect. He made clear to reporters that several factors appealed to him about Denver. One was familiarity with head coach Sean Payton and what his offense can do. He faced Payton's Saints in two massive playoff games in 2017 and 2019 when he was with Minnesota. He also had a relationship with Davis Webb, who played with Diggs as a backup quarterback when he was in Buffalo. He said, he helped me a lot in Buffalo as far as like learning the plays. Buffalo was a different place. Their offensive scheme with Brian Daboll, he ran a lot of stuff. So Davis Webb knew a lot of that. He taught me a lot of the offense. He's a good friend of mine. I think he's going to be a hell of a coach one day. Now that's actually more what we don't see, Mike. So this kind of spins off to, now he had, just quickly, Diggs ended up signing a 3-year, $69 million deal with the Patriots. And this actually, reading Diggs' comments here, these are the things, when I said, hey, I'm not knocking the Davis Webb idea that he's getting a lot of people reaching out to him. We just don't see it when you look at his resume. And what doesn't show on the resume, a really good receiver, prima donna or not, said, that they ran a lot of stuff in Buffalo when Brian Daboll was there, maybe alluding to the fact that it could have been a little complicated, but it was Davis Webb who was able to teach him and teach him a lot of the offense and get him where he's to the point of fully understanding everything.
So it's maybe kind of a more of a Davis Webb, like kind of
compliment,
older brother, take you under my wing type of thing?
Maybe. And so that's what I had wondered about Davis Webb, was did he showcase a bunch of stuff when he was a backup quarterback? Did his knowledge of the game and whatever offense they were running, was that enough to blow a lot of people away where word started to spread? Because I'm guessing Stephon Diggs, this isn't the first time he's ever mentioned that he thinks Davis Webb is good. And he actually said, I think he's going to be a great head coach someday. When you are in those meeting rooms, you're meeting with a bunch of people, Mike. And then those people go off to different teams every year. Coaching changes, player changes. Those guys go off to different teams. Word starts to spread. Somehow the conversation comes up. And Davis Webb's name comes up more often than not, maybe. And that answers our question, doesn't it? Stephon Diggs perhaps answers my question as to why Davis Webb's name was in the brains of so many GMs looking to hire their next head coach or offensive coordinator. Because if you just look at his resume, you look at his career, nothing on there is going to say Michael or Brady, look at that guy and go, yeah, you need that dude. But when you start reading between the lines, and this is a lot of what goes into a coaching search, is you're talking to people all over the place. Now, Diggs, the quiet part out loud here, player-wise, would have been really cool to see him as a Bronco. Would have been really cool to see him team up with Davis Webb. But you also have the legal issues going on that Diggs has faced throughout 2025. Still put up the numbers, but he's facing active charges of strangulation and assault from an early December incident at his home. That's still going on as he's preparing for the Super Bowl. Though that story, that case is still open. And some would say, no, stay away, probably not the best. But when you just want to look at the player and the numbers, that would have opened up a lot of things, don't you think? I mean, a great receiver can open up a lot of different things for everything. You know, wide receiver, for your running game, too. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. George Payton was also connected with, or the Broncos were also connected with the Dolphins' Jalen Waddle. And I know Tanner on Good Morning NoCo really wanted to see the Broncos do something there. They just didn't pull the trigger. Why? Keeler, when I had Keeler on from the Denver Post last Wednesday and I brought up George Pickens, Keeler scoffed at that. Like, do you really want to bring that in? Would you take the risk of bringing in a wide receiver, big name wide receiver, knowing what comes with a big name wide receiver? A little bit of the, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, get me the damn ball thing. Does that concern you, surrounding Bo Nix with guys that are get me the ball guys? Are you worried that Bo couldn't handle that because they didn't pull the trigger? George Payton was asked about Jalen Waddle. He said, we always look at everything. I don't think that was available. Would have made much of a difference for us. That what was available, there we go, would have made much of a difference for us. And I would argue that a top-tier receiver would have made a difference. Maybe not in the win-loss column. You're still winning the games, but your offense looks a lot better. And you get knuckleheads like me saying, yeah, the drop-off from Bo to Jarrett Stidham is really huge because Bo had the weapons and was awesome.
And Jarrett Stidham would have also had that weapon, too.
Maybe.
But here's the thing, when the Broncos are behind, if they are behind with him by 18 to the Giants, is he melting down on the sidelines?
Correct.
Or is he one of those guys who's receptive to, like, hey guys, we're down by 18, but we've been down before, not by this much, we can still come back.
Is
and
it
33 points later?
Would it be a bad move then to surround Bo with a George Pickens again, when I say George Pickens, it's not like he's a terrible human. It's just he's had moments. He's had moments where he's frustrated. He's not getting the football. And then what we see on TV is always much more behind the scenes, typically. They always tell you it's not. We've already seen Bo and Sean Payton go at it. You don't think if a receiver's pouting and screaming, get me the ball, Bo's not going to lose a little bit on a receiver? If he loses it on his head, and I say lose it loosely, okay? It's not like he was inappropriate. All things that I'm all for. I love the fire between Bo and Sean. But if he does that against his head coach, do you worry that he's going to do it with a receiver too? A receiver's going to pout. Bo's going to come in with fire. Then it's going to explode a little bit, and it makes for a really awkward huddle.
Well, it depends on who it is. I mean, Peyton Manning was able to do that. He did that to Jeff Saturday.
Well, yeah, but that's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Tom Brady took on Antonio Brown, man. Like, those guys you don't worry as much. When you say prima donna receiver who has that me attitude, you put him with a Mahomes, a Josh Allen, although Allen and Diggs, that didn't really work out. But they're confident enough. I mean, it did work out, kind of. He had huge numbers. Allen had huge numbers with him. But it's easier to take when you put him with a proven veteran quarterback that can ultimately just say, you know, Tom Brady can say, look at the ring, man. You're going to tell me how to do my job? Mahomes can say the same thing.
And the question is, would Bo Nix be able to handle that? People love him. People in the locker room love him. But he doesn't have a lot of players like that. I don't know how many players in his career he's had to deal with like that.
But don't you have to sacrifice a little bit of that, like, hey, everything's good here. We're all comfortable with each other. Don't they always say in business, to be better, you got to get outside of your comfort zone? And so Denver didn't pull the trigger on a guy like Diggs. They didn't pull the trigger on various wide receiver free agents the last 2 years. They have an opportunity to do that this year. They're going to have certainly the money. But is there a part where George and Sean Payton sit down and they say, are we better off putting that money to a running back, putting that money to a tight end, drafting another receiver, which you've suggested, which I think is interesting because you just keep getting younger at that position. Sooner or later, you need a dog and a leader on the wide receiver room, not a guy that, hey, he's good one day, then the next day, where'd he go? And then the next week, meh, the next week, whoa, that was a huge game. When do you say, we believe in our leadership here, coaching staff, quarterback. We believe in that leadership enough where bringing in maybe a little ego is not going to disrupt the locker room.
Is it a problem with the wide receivers, though? Alternate look at things.
What do you mean?
Broncos haven't had a run game all year. They've had some of it, but not. It hasn't been great the entire time. Haven't had a real tight end. Maybe teams know that the running game's going to be bad, so they can cover the receivers. If you get a real weapon, or you figure out how to get your weapons right now at running back to perform, maybe that allows your wide receivers to get open more.
So you're saying focus more on the run game, and then you're comfortable with the wide receiver group. Put the focus on the run game more. The receivers that you have, the Marvin Mims, the Franklin, the Pat Bryants, they'll be better because teams have to focus more on what you're doing rushing the ball.
I'm not so sure I'm as comfortable with them as I was at the beginning of the season, but I would like, as you say, you keep saying tight end. I would like a tight end. Broncos haven't had a great tight end in a decade.
The thing about paying a running back, Mike, you're going to have a lot of money. But one Breece Hall running back is going to suddenly eat into that quite a bit, right? That guy is going to be expensive for a running back. Do you want a lot of your budget to go to a guy that has to write or to a guy that's going to be coached by a guy that has to write on a playbook and remind himself to run the ball?
Can you get Davis Webb to remind him to do that? Can you get J.K. for cheap?
Can you get Davis Webb to call the plays?
Can you get RJ to have a great sophomore season?
I don't know. You're relying on a lot of young dudes to have a next step. Mims, Franklin, Bryant, Harvey. In all
this
key
is an
positions.
Alternate look. I'm looking at things alternately. But yesterday, wide receiver. Today, running back.
Is it what you're not looking at a receiver today? Is that because you worry about bringing in? Because let's face it, wide receivers. The Broncos have been very fortunate in this area, but wide receivers typically are the ones you worry about on offense, right?
It used to be running backs. Now that the game's all passing, it's become wide receivers.
They're the ones that have a little bit more of an attitude if they don't get the football. Now, J.K. Dobbins might have been frustrated that he wasn't getting a lot of carries, and he was still putting out big numbers. Sure didn't say a damn thing about it. In fact, he said, I'm a Bronco. He's been here 1 year, and he's like, he bleeds blue and orange. So you're not getting that from him. He might be in small, you know, small corners and groups saying, man, what the hell? I only got 13 carries, man. I ran for 80 yards. Imagine if they give me 20 carries. What would happen? But you're not hearing it. A lot of times with receivers, and you even kind of heard that with Evan Ingram, who's a tight end, but can play in that receiver role, saying, hey, it's not on me to figure out how to use me. I don't know why my production was down. Basically saying, ask them. In other words. So it's an interesting one. Would you have signed off on Stephon Diggs being a member of the Denver Broncos? The numbers were very similar to Cortland Sutton's, but what if you had two guys that shifted everything a defense is focusing on? Does that open up a lot of things? Fun chat. Now you got money. Now you got money where you can try to build up on the offensive side. Time is now while you're not paying your quarterback. 45 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick, Mike. No? What are we on? Are we on two? Are we only
this
on two?
This is our second segment.
Great job. Great job of managing the clock. Clock management.
I was on a roll in this segment.
Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKN.
Game beer of the week, Super Bowl edition at On the Rocks Liquor, is Johnny Bootlegger. It's available in apple, blue raspberry, or peach. And this malt beverage packs a punch, available at On the Rocks Liquor. You guys are having parties, whatever you're doing for the big Super Bowl this weekend, make sure you stop by On the Rocks Liquor and scan what they have new. And of course, they have a lot of your go-tos always available at On the Rocks Liquor. You can try something new at their free wine and beer tastings every Friday at 4 o'clock. All right, Mike, coming up in the next hour, we'll get to top stories of the day. The NCAA is in the news again. We have a denial to talk about, a denied appeal. Super Bowl glance, who do you like? How are we feeling about this game? Are we excited about it? Also, Rams Weekly will start today at 1 o'clock with the Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado one. We'll be right back.
The best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Hull Show with Brady Hull.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into the top stories of the day. Also, I want to get into this. It's trade deadline day. I don't know if the Nuggets are actually going to do anything. We'll monitor that during the break. But I was thinking about some of the best trade deadline trades the Nuggets have made in their history. And we'll get into that coming up. Also, Kevin Lytle set to join us in the 1 o'clock hour as the whole show transitions to Rams Weekly here inside the Aloe Fiber Studios. Keep it right here, though, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.